ready for the word now? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to verse number 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now who is this speaking of? Jesus bore our sins on the tree, right on the cross. That we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness. How many on the tree he made us righteous, or through the cross? Through the cross, Jesus became what he had never been. He was made a sinner. So we could become something we could never be of our own. We were made righteous, whosoever believes on him, right? So a great exchange was made. We were made righteous in exchange for him receiving our sinful nature. And so, and it goes on to say, and by whose stripes we were healed. The same exchange, the same gift Jesus gave for us at the cross to deliver us from sins, also has delivered us from sickness and disease, pain and infirmity, and even injury. We've been made healed through the stripes Jesus took upon the cross, or actually through the whipping post. And so we're going to look this morning. We started this Thursday, but we didn't get very far. We're going to look at the tie between how many times in Scripture God has connected redemption to healing. If you're a Christian, you believe that Jesus paid the price for your sins. And you have no problem saying, I receive that gift of salvation because I believe in his gift upon the cross. But many of those same Christians that believe in salvation by speaking it, because you can't get saved unless you believe that, right? Don't believe that Jesus healed them through the same event and the same cross that delivered us from sin has delivered us from sickness. We've gone to a few times here in the past few weeks. We're on a series on healing. We're taking our flu shots early this year. Amen. Our gospel pills that deliver us from all sickness and disease. And we have already found out that through the cross, Jesus delivered us from the curse. Right? Being made a curse for us. For all that are hung on a tree are cursed of God. And we discovered in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that sickness is part of the curse. Sickness came in with the curse. It's part of the curse. It's in the world already. But Jesus came to redeem us from the curse. Part of the redemption package is deliver us from all sickness and pain. Amen. So for us to tolerate sickness in our life, to us not to do anything about symptoms that continually plague us, is to accept a curse we have been freely redeemed from. And we brought this out Thursday night. I've been trying to make this clear of the need to rise up against symptoms. Too many times in Christianity where we may believe that God has healed us, but we're somewhat lethargic or lack aggression in confronting symptoms. And you've got to consider sickness symptoms like an invader in your house. Amen? I mean, if, you know, you're at home and somebody breaks down your front door, you know, and they're wearing hoods and whatever, and they've got knives, you don't let them carry everything out of the house when you're sitting next to a Glock. Do you follow me? I mean, you got a .357 Magnum there in your hand, and, oh, you got knives? Oh, take everything. You're going to take the greater weapon that you have and confront the ones stealing your stuff that have lesser weapons. You know the saying, right? Never bring a knife to a gunfight. And you've been given the greatest guns through the name of Jesus. The best the enemy does, he's got a little bitty pen knife, you know? And it's rubber, he can't hurt you anyway. And you're sitting there armed, locked and loaded, and for us not to do anything to stop him stealing our health, bringing pain into our life, is to really let the curse come in and rob us blindly, even though we may see. To steal from us wholeness of body and joy in life that pain will steal. There comes a time you've got to rise up against the symptoms. You've got to rise up and say, I've had enough. And get in the Word, start confessing what the Word says, and aggressively confront pain that rises up against you. Amen. So I gave the example Thursday night that most of us, if we went to a restaurant and you'd gone to a nice restaurant and had ordered, you know, filet mignon and they brought you liver and onions, you probably wouldn't receive it. Now, there are a few people really like liver and you may put up with it. Amen. But most people order filet and they bring you liver and onions, you're not going to receive it. They say, well, sir, you know, I know what you ordered, but we'd really like you to have liver and onions tonight. We've got a lot of extra liver and onions, just like the devil's got a lot of extra symptoms. Take the liver and I'll give you extra onions to make up for it. I'll double the order of liver that you get to eat. Amen. We'll throw chicken livers on top of beef liver. How many are buying into that? What are you going to do? You're going to send it back and say, I want what belongs to me, what I've ordered. I've ordered steak. Amen. Or if you're, you know, a vegetarian, I'll order soy burger. I haven't figured that one out yet. Some of the ladies tried to get me to eat a soy burger one day. I said, I don't do that. My body will reject lies. Probably tastes fine, but I'm not going to try to fool my body. It's like artificial sweetener. What's the point? Amen. The reason they call them, there's a reason everything that tastes good has a lot of fat grams in it, right? And so you order the steak, they bring you liver, you're going to put your foot down. And if they bring, you know, this time back 2 plates of liver, you're going to get more adamant. Just like when you speak, I want my healing, and the symptoms get worse. You can't say, well, I guess that's okay then. You know, you're going to double up the symptoms. I guess it wasn't God's will for me to have steak tonight, so I'll just accept the liver and onions in double portion. No, that's when you start throwing plates back at the waiter. I'm not taking this. Get this out of here. Now, don't do that. You understand I'm talking in relation to symptoms. You can say, get off of my body. I don't receive this. And you speak what you want. Amen. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take you rising up. But it's amazing. You know, I know a very few people, probably a couple, that would ever let them bring them the wrong order in a restaurant unless it was better than what they ordered. Right? When my nephew was a little kid, he's probably about 3 or 4, and he went to McDonald's and he ordered a hamburger with no pickle and no onion. Was it pickle onion? Or no? None something. Yeah. And he got his burger, got to his table. They gave him the burger. Well, how was it, 4? Something like that. Opens his burger, and it's got onion and pickle on it. He puts it together, walks up the counter, slams it down, says, I said none onions and none pickle. At 4 years old, he wouldn't put up with the wrong order. And for us to receive 6 symptoms on our body is let them give you the wrong order. Amen. Not just the wrong order, it's the wrong waiter. Amen. Wrong restaurant. They shipped out to a restaurant you didn't even order from and brought in food that you didn't want. You don't have to tolerate that. And too many times, We're willing to put up with stuff because we think it'd be too hard to confront it. Amen. But the thing is, once you whoop sickness at a certain level, you keep that level of victory. Oh, it's worth it. Amen. And so I got to thinking about the effort it takes to access divine healing. And some people, you know, where I live, closest restaurants to me, well, look, I'll just make up an example. Let's say you live in an area and the closest restaurant to you is White Castle. And, you know, just past the White Castle, there's a McDonald's and a Taco Bell. Maybe a Burger King thrown in between or, you know, some other fast food establishment. And if you're going to take your wife out to eat, chances are, and let's say it's your anniversary or, you know, some big, it's a birthday or something, Valentine's Day, you don't go to White Castle. Usually, maybe that's your where you met and you're romantic and I whatever. But you're not going to go to White Castle. You'll be willing to drive a little further to go to a nice restaurant. Amen. I remember some years back in Frankfurt, if you wanted a nice meal, you had to go to Lexington. There was just not anything there to speak of. Now we've got quite a few nicer restaurants. But still, if I want to go real nice, we don't have a Chop House in Frankfurt or a Carrabba's. Amen. So on really nice events, we don't even eat in Frankfurt. I have to take her to Lexington or Louisville or Ruth's Chris or something like that. That's been a while. To a really nice place. So sometimes to get what you want, to get the best, requires you go beyond what's convenient. Amen. I mean, if I'm driving home and I call Patty and let's say I'm halfway home and I said, I'll stop and get you something to eat. What do you want? And she says, well, I'd really like, trying to think of an example. Let's just say Culver's. And I live in Frankfurt. She says, I want Culver's. I'd say, I'm halfway home. You're going to pick something closer. I'd have to turn around and go back to Georgetown or Lexington to get that. Pick something more convenient. Amen. Now, you guys know my heart. I would turn around and go wherever it was for whatever she wanted to eat. But there's certain things you'll do for convenience sake. But there's other things you'll go beyond to access. And I want to tell you, healing is not fast food. It's not on the menu. Prosperity is not on the fast food menu. The supernatural love of God is not on the fast food menu. It's at the place where there's time taken to prepare that. There's an investment made to access it. It's going to come at a higher price. It's going to require you to go further beyond. Are you guys following what I'm trying to get at here? So you just can't say, I'm going to do what's convenient regarding my walk with God to access these things. You've got to be willing to go beyond. You've got to be willing to do what you don't normally do or what may seem out of the norm for you to do. God has made the promises of God of such value. Peter calls them exceeding great and precious promises. They're so valuable, God didn't place them at a level that you can just reach and pick it off the lower branches of the tree. While I'm a Christian, I just receive all of this without some effort to develop yourself to be able to carry them. When something's really valuable, you'll take extra efforts to access it. Understand, healing is free. It's already paid for. But it doesn't come freely. You got every devil in hell trying to stop you from receiving that healing. It's going to require you making some effort to confront the powers of darkness trying to stop you from receiving it. And some effort to build your faith to be able to access it. I use this example a lot, and I have to use myself as an example because my wife gets really irritated when I use her too much. Except when it's good things. Amen. We've got several people in this church that are engineers, have engineering degrees. And, you know, I came out of school. I'd done pretty good in high school, decent, and for never having studied. And I went to college and decided I wanted to be an engineer. And I didn't go into, you know, the engineering dean's office and say, well, I've decided to be an engineer. Just go ahead and give me my diploma. Amen. They'd made me train for it. They made me go to class after class. It took years. And in the classes, it wasn't enough just to go to class. They tested me to see if I got the information. There were tests involved. Amen. This nation has gotten so pitiful with its concern about hurting somebody's feelings or damaging somebody's self-esteem. They will refuse to really put people through trials to see who can rise to the top. I love that new commercial out now where the father's little boy is given a trophy at the end of the year and the trophy says participant. Have you seen that commercial? He goes, participant, we won a championship. He rips off and writes champs across the trophy. Now we're talking. And I was never a stellar athlete. I know with this physique you're wondering, how could that possibly be? I played every sport all my life, but I was never, you know, all city or anything like that. And even not being a stellar athlete, I still wanted to keep score. Even if I lost, I wanted them to keep score. Why bother trying if there's not a score? Now I'm getting off on a kind of a side rant on it. And so with engineering degree, I had to take tests. You had to go through training, tests, trials, experimentation to prove that you got the stuff down. And once you proved that you had developed yourself to the right level, then they would give you the diploma and you could go get a job in that profession. Amen. And faith, carrying the most powerful potential of anything in this created universe, is not given freely over to people that won't develop themselves. There's a requirement to hunger after God enough to get in His Word, to hunger after His promises enough to be willing to speak it, to be willing to access what He said we can have to confront adverse situations and circumstances. There's a requirement to confront darkness, to move into the power of God. Amen? I don't know how many people I've heard, you know, they get saved and, you know, they've been saved for, you know, maybe a few months now and they say, yeah, God's called me to be an apostle. Do what? You're not called to be an apostle yet. Amen. Paul said this. He said, don't lay hands on a novice. He wasn't talking about they can't get healed. He was talking about ordaining into leadership, into ministry. Paul went around appointing pastors wherever he went. And he says, don't lay hands on a novice. In fact, he was telling Timothy that. Lest he's lifted up in pride and many be destroyed. Right? You can't just get saved and say, I'm just going to start my own church and be a pastor. You're going to make a mess. You've not been trained yet. You've not been tested yet. Amen. Now, the promises of God are available for everybody. And there's no time requirement that you've got to be saved so long before you can get healed. But there is a necessity you seek after it and build your faith to carry it at any high level. Amen. God's raising up here a glorious church. He's raising up a church of people that are going to carry resurrection life power on their lives. I believe there will be many, many in here that will raise people from the dead. I believe a whole bunch of you will be opening blind eyes, causing limbs to grow out, casting out devils. Before it's done, I really do believe that. Can you believe it with me? But it's going to be people willing to apply themselves, willing to really elevate these promises in the Word of God above your normal daily activities of distraction and entertainment. Amen. And willing to stand against any manifestation of the curse in your life. To put your foot down. I said none onions. None pickles. If a 4-year-old can do it, we can do it. Amen. And so in the same sacrifice, the same event where Jesus redeemed us from the curse, redeemed us from sin, He has also redeemed us from sickness. I know people that if you came to them and said, I don't think you're saved, they'd be willing to climb on top of my head. You follow me? What do you mean I'm not saved? I'm saved. You're the one not saved. Ain't anybody saved? I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. I believe He died for my sin. I believe He rose from the dead. I'm a born-again saint. And they would get downright adamant declaring their salvation. But yet, maybe hacking and coughing and sneezing and aching and paining all the way. Amen. Where they're adamant about one, they kind of tolerate the other. Is this too tough on you? You got to get intolerant to the curse. My goodness, this last week, I did some physical work last week. Up and down, up and down. And I'd get at my knees, be going like, ah, back be hollering. I had somebody say, well, you know, you're getting older. And I said, no, I don't put up with this in Jesus' name. And I start jumping up and straightening up. Pain, you get off of my body. We're to tolerate that stuff. Either our youth is renewed as the eagles, as the Word says, or it's not. And we can tell those aches and pains that, and devil tries to say, well, you know, you're this old now. Shut up, devil! I'm 19 years old in spirit. My body's got to line up. Almost like I can read minds right now. Your body's got some catching up to do. But you did good. You didn't even bust out a grin or laugh or nothing openly. Amen. Body, you line up to the Word. Moses was 120 when he went on, and his eyesight was perfect, and he had fullness of strength. Surely at half that age, I can keep up. Amen. Glory to God. A little over half. Numbers chapter 8. Numbers 8. I believe it was Main Street Baptist in Lexington. Used to be Pastor Elder Ward. You may remember Pastor Elder Ward. Man, I listened to him on the radio. I'd get fired up. And he wasn't preaching tongues or power, really. But he'd say this. He'd go, have we got any warriors in the place? I'd jump up in my car. Glory to God, yes. God, anybody remember that? God's looking for warriors. And you don't want to be any powerhouse you know, physically or intellectually. All you got to do is say, I just want to serve God fully. And take the steps you can. And if you'll just take the steps you can, you will outdistance 99% of other Christians who will tolerate the curse in their life. Amen. Numbers 8, have you got it? Let's go to verse number 19. And I've given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation. Let me pause right there for a second. God raised up an entire tribe. How many tribes were there? No. There were 13. Levite wasn't counted. Amen? Levites were given no inheritance, and God assigned them to take care of the things of the tabernacle, of the kingdom, of the operations of God. Amen. The reason there's 13 is because Joseph got a double portion. Amen. Joseph until you get to Revelation, Joseph's not listed in the tribes. They list Ephraim and Manasseh, who were his two sons, making a 13th tribe. And the Levites were given charge just to take care of the house of God. And a 13th of the entire nation responsible for taking care of those things. And God's raising up a Levitical mindset of people in the end days that'll be focused on the things of the house of God. He says, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel. Now, one of the responsibilities of the Levites were to deal with the sacrifices, right? Do you understand the sacrifices of the bulls and the goats they made back in Moses' day were a representation of Jesus Christ going to the cross? Then when they would strap the sacrifice to the brazen altar, it was a representation of Jesus being nailed to the cross. Amen. And the blood of those animals that they shed, they say the blood flowed full time from the altar, like a small stream, 24/7 from that area. That was a representation of the blood of Christ that's been shed for us. Amen. So here he's talking about the atonement, the sacrifice for sin being made, right? But then he says that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. Now here we see again redemption tied to healing. As far as God's concerned, the two go together. Right? Like peanut butter and jelly. Right? Like Oreos and milk, although I don't even think that should go together. And like liver and onions. Throughout Scripture, healing is tied to redemption. They really should be inseparable. But we as a church have let them be separated. God meant for when you access the blessing of the cross, you also access the healing of the whipping post. Amen. And he says here that there be no plague, no sickness or disease among the children of Israel when they draw near to the sanctuary. Here we have a key. Where's one of the best places to access healing? At the church. Get to the church. I believe it supercharges your ability to get healed. Get where the people of God are congregated, where you can step into the power of God. I saw something yesterday or the day before. I was just meditating on the Word. And when you're under the influence, let's say that you're under the influence of the world, you hang around worldly people, you go to worldly places. Let's say you got a Christian hangs out to the bars. A Christian hangs out to the bars, eventually the spirits are going to get on them. You have opened yourself up to the influence of the demonic atmosphere those places entertain. Amen. You hang around people of strife, eventually you're going to get angry. Why? Because the atmospheres that you entertain determine what's filtered through that comes to you. When you're in an atmosphere of the demonic, it acts as a resistor to the power of God coming on your life. Did you follow that? When you hang out intentionally in demonic places, I'm not talking about you going to ministry, I'm talking about you hang out there, you're going to have less of the presence of God come on your life than if you're hanging out at church. That cleared up. So the atmosphere you're in acts as a resistor or a hindrance to the power of God coming on your life. Anybody have a problem believing that? Well, not me, Pastor Jack. I just carry God wherever I go. Right. And the atmosphere that you sit under has no influence on your soul. Right. No. Amen. It will impact you. There's a necessity. Now, we're in the world, but not of the world, right? So there's going to be encounters you have, but if you spend all of your time in front of sinful TV, let's say you spend all your time on looking on things on the internet you shouldn't be looking at, it will have an impact on you. Amen. It's going to open you up to sin and resist the power of God. But in the same fashion, when you get to a place where the presence of God is abiding, where the anointing is residing, that rhymed, it's going to resist the darkness being able to get to you and conduct the power of God to you more readily. What atmosphere that you place yourself in will help determine how much of the power of God you can step into. Here it says, when the children of Israel approach the sanctuary, there will be no plague upon them. Why? The presence of God. See, the glory dwelled over that place. Amen? As you move toward the presence of God, it's going to start to filter out darkness and amplify light. As you move away from the place where God is operating, it's going to amplify darkness and filter out light. You want to step into the healing power of God? Get to church. I believe in part that's why James said, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Get there or get them one way or the other. Why does it say, if you're sick, to call for the elders of the church? Because it was understood in those days, if you were well enough to walk, you'd go to church automatically. Boy, I got quiet on that one. He didn't say, is any sick among you? Get to church. You think it would say that? But it's already understood not to forsake the gathering yourselves together. It's understood those that won the promise of God would take efforts to get to church where the presence of God and the power of God was to filter out darkness and amplify light. So the only time you would have to call for the elders is when you couldn't make it to church. So automatically, if you're sick, get to church. Well, I don't want anybody to catch anything. That can be a cop-out sometimes. Amen? We'll let you set apart from everybody else. But get where the anointing is. See, it's not a popular thing to say, is it? I'm talking about winning. I'm talking about what's it take to really win in this thing. And there comes a time we quit bowing down to every little push the devil makes against us. Have we got any warriors in the place? Psalm 103. I wasn't meaning that to be hard. This is supposed to be a fun lesson. Jana took it upon herself last summer. Start getting up every morning and confessing healing into her life. Went through the first winter of her life without getting sick, right? Can I use you as an example? I have a question for you. You got up every morning for how long? A year? Confessing the word. To spend a winter with no sickness where maybe you'd have been sick a handful of days. Was it worth it? Really, all those hours you spent confessing the word, it was worth it. All that time getting early, up early, it was worth it. So by doing something you didn't, she says, she's shaking her head yes for those that are listening by audio. For those that think it's not worth the effort, she's saying it was. But she had to do something outside of her normal routine, something even probably outside of her normal comfort zone, to access something she never had before. Amen. And it's worth it. I started doing this back in 1980, really 87, 88. Last time I've been down with the flu was 1991. I've only had since 1991, maybe two or three times I've entertained symptoms of the flu. They've never lasted since that time more than a day. And maybe that was just in one case. I'm telling you, it took some effort. 25 years to confess it in my life. But it's worth it. I haven't been sick and lost my cookies since 1991. Other ones with a migraine. Amen. Which is still close to 20 years ago. We have a right to live sickness free, but it requires you making some shifts in your schedule. Well, I go to the church, they preach healing, they lay hands on people, they get healed, and you know, I hear them teach about healing, and that's all I got to do. There comes a time that you got to feed yourself to go into the fullness. We make the confession cards to work into your life. Pull that card out. Get several of them. Speak those verses over your life. It doesn't take hours. My confession list takes me about 15 minutes to go through. I may spend another 30 minutes meditating it. Amen. Because I don't just read the verse. By His stripes I was healed. I think, by His stripes, He took them. I don't have to take them. He took them. What a price He paid, so I am healed. I'm healed. And as you work that thought, those thoughts through your mind, that scripture promising healing starts to move from your thinking area to your heart where faith is launched from. And it will take you some time and effort. But you know, you can watch Everybody Loves Raymond reruns and blow a half an hour a day watching that, or Jeopardy, you know, half an hour a day, and have no permanent results other than, you know, the capital of Uzbekistan or something like that. You know, you watch Jeopardy. Or you can confess the eternal word of God, take that same half an hour, and watch your life become transformed. Just half an hour? Yeah, just half an hour. Half hour a day of scripture confession will change your life. I don't have time for that. I don't want to hear that. I can't even comprehend that. You mean you don't have time? This is sounding tough, and I'm not meaning to be tough. Should we just start another message? We say we don't have time. We don't have time with our set schedule. And we don't want to uproot from watching NCIS or, you know, whatever your favorite program is. We want to go into sports right now, right? Everybody knows football season's over, right? Football season ended about 3 weeks ago. If you're a UK fan, I guess. You better edit that out. I'll lose people all over the radio, everything else. It's, whole city shut me down. It was meant as a joke. Amen. I was listening to the game a little bit yesterday driving, and Cats came up short again. And this was going to be their year. I was telling Pat, I said, man, people are disappointed because this was going to be their year. It's going to be a big year for them. Patty says, I heard that every day of my life, all my life, every year, football season, they're going to win all the games. And they, I'm trying to build up Kentucky. She's tearing them down. I'm going, what's going on here? It's just a game. And of course, as they say in Kentucky, basketball season's coming. It's here now. Amen. Did they win last night? Kentucky win last night? Yeah. Okay, I didn't look. Let me get off that vein. That's just uncomfortable around here. Ain't it? We have fun. We say we don't have time. But if you really were to take it, just take a week. You can do it if you want to. I'm not, it's not an assignment. But take a week and write down everything you do for a week. Every half an hour, write down what you've done the last half hour. Find out how much spots there are you could be doing something. It used to be TV was enough of a waste, but now we got Facebook. Amen. Ah, if I get one more game request for, what is it? Candy Crush. And trivia crack. And they're messing with all the time I want to dedicate just to reading Facebook with these game requests. So the distraction I'm involved in, they're distracting me from. How much time you can spend just playing games online? Well, we don't have time to do that, which is eternal. And God's looking for people that will hunger for Him enough to shift their priorities. And when He finds people that will shift their priorities, He's going to raise up this army. This army is going to be made up of a bunch of people that may have had no spectacular skills in life personally, but they just so wanted God, they shifted to what their schedule was to move toward Him. And He says, okay, come on up. When you study the Word of God, you're going to find out some of the greatest men in the Word are ones that serve somebody else faithfully for sometimes decades before their chance came. Without even considering promotional opportunity themselves many times, they were content just to be around the man of God that was moving in the power of God. So of all of Israel, 2 million strong, only Joshua stayed at the foot of the mountain when Moses went up. That's powerful. Joshua wanted God enough, he hung out at the bottom of the mountain while the real man of God, for the moment, went up. Then he was able to do later what Moses was not permitted to do. David served Saul. Elisha served Elijah. The 12 disciples served Jesus. Timothy served Paul. In fact, you can track through Jesus to the Apostle John to, I forgot the order of the names, Polycarp, and for a long period of time, disciples that studied under the other disciples through history that became great men in the kingdom. Why? They were hungry. And God's about to elevate. He is about to elevate His representatives, His hungering and thirsting representatives above all of the positions in the world. where it says the glory shall arise upon you in Isaiah 60. It says your sons and daughters shall come from far, and kings shall come to thy rising. We live in a world so focused on celebrity. Hollywood stars, great athletes, people of positional power, that, you know, they're held in very high, I shouldn't say regard, but highly focused upon. Hollywood right now is imploding. Have you watched what's going on in Hollywood lately? It's imploding. They, in the past few weeks, some well-known Hollywood star, they've not named them yet, has announced he's got HIV and has slept with half of Hollywood. And they say things are about to implode there. It's crazy. And Hollywood star is starting to dim very quickly after being in the spotlight for the last 100 years. Starting to dim very quickly. Once the glory hits, I believe people will quit following sports as much, and revivalists will fill the stadiums with people seeking Him. But then kings coming to the brightness of our rising. God's about to have world leaders bow to carriers of the anointing in the end time. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Like never before. In Old Testament times, when the nation got a need, they'd call in Isaiah. They'd call in the prophets. Amen. And say, what do we need to do? And they'd give them instruction. Well, it's about to go to a whole new level. God's representatives are about to turn nations around in the end times. How do we get clear over here from healing? You've got to be willing to hunger enough for God to position yourself for these things. You can come up with a prayer line and get healed. It's free in the prayer line if the gift kicks in. Are you following me? But there's a place you can go to carry it yourself, to be used of God to release to other people. As you first work it into your life and then release to others, you can be a representative of God's healing power. Psalm 103, are you there? Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. Pastor Lee says it's better to have God's benefits than have conniption fits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Do you see that? How many of your sins does He forgive? All of them. He forgives all your sins. And in the same statement, He says, and healeth all your diseases. There's nothing that God doesn't want to heal in your life. There's nothing He had already paid to heal. How much will we tolerate? And it's amazing how at times, I feel like I'm preaching hard this morning. I really don't want to. This is opportunity. Not me shoving it down your throat. But you better get it. Oh. I want us to have fun. But sometimes when you're bringing forth a word that needs to get through, you have to take a hammer to something to bust through. Is not my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? And I feel like I'm hammering this morning, and I'm not wanting to hammer on you. I'm going to hammer on darkness. We will categorize sicknesses. And we'll say, well, I can be healed of, you know, a cold or the flu, but diabetes? Nobody gets healed of diabetes. What's harder to say, diabetes or flu? Which one does the name of Jesus not have power over? Or cancer? Nobody gets healed of cancer. I understand healing from a headache, but healing can't. It's the same word. The only thing that makes one worse than the other is our belief it's worse or more difficult. I understand there's different levels of demonic involvement, you know, but still we've got power over all of it. But then we also put into categories that we think we can't get healed of as injuries. You know, well, I injured this, and I understand I'm healed, but this is an injury. We brought this out Thursday night. There's a DNA code in your body that tells how your body should be. And darkness tries to tamper with that code, preventing your body lining up to what your DNA says. I believe in the garden, if Adam got hurt, his body would instantly respond with the power of God to bring his every aspect of his physical being into alignment with perfection. I believe in the garden, Adam could not have been killed. If his head had been cut off, a new one would have grown out according to the DNA code, whatever, you follow me? Or he'd have felt around, put it back on, and phew, there you go. Eve, where's my head? Don't the wives always say you'd lose your head if it wasn't tied on, right? That the glory he was in caused his body to always line up to the code within every cell of his being. But under the curse is tempered with our ability to receive a combination of that code tying to the power of God to produce full restoration. But the truth is, when we get the hindrances out of the way, limbs will grow back out to match the original. Amen? Eyeballs will form in sockets to match the original. Why, the code's in there. We just need the power of God to cooperate with that code to bring the results. And so we put injuries into a category maybe that we can't see healed. How about allergies? I've got allergies. I'm not sick. It is still a demonic assault against your wholeness. And even allergies are included in our healing package. You have a right to live allergy free. In fact, you're guaranteed healing just as much as you're guaranteed salvation, if not more so. What do you mean more so? Because people that aren't saved can receive healing. Amen? But they can't go to heaven. There's no way I can lay hands on somebody and send them to heaven. Amen? But I've seen many unbelievers healed. Healing is so freely given that wherever Jesus went, he released healing before we ever went to the cross. Amen. And it was a demonstration of the kingdom of God being manifest among them. If God healed Old Testament, all diseases, we have a right to walk in it now. The only thing that prevents it, if I say this, will you guys not get mad at me? The only thing that keeps us being healed of all things is a refusal to get adamant against the symptoms and work against them. I don't see how I say that. Well, the Word says, for with God nothing shall be impossible unto you. The only thing that keeps us from being healed is not making the effort to move into His promises. Now, let me throw on top of that. Some may not make the effort, not because they're lazy or don't want to. They may not know what efforts need to be taken. Hosea, God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So lack of knowledge will kill you. But if we'll seek God, He'll reveal to us the knowledge. And we can walk in healing of all things. You want to have a time building your faith, go read God's Generals by Robert Sheridan, the big one. It's historical accounts of all the great men and women of God, revivalists of the past, all who carried great healing power, who were adamant against symptoms. Smith Wigglesworth, you've heard of Smith, right? Raised 23 people from the dead. 16 documented. refused for anything of the world to be in his house. Lester Sumrall came to visit him one time. You guys know who Lester is, right? Lester came to visit him in England. He was actually, Lester came up under Smith Wigglesworth toward the end of his ministry. And Lester brought a newspaper in the house, carried it in. Smith made him get rid of it. Get that out of my house. There'll be no thing to read in my house but the Bible. Would not let worldly input into his house. Amen. Of course, this is the same man of God who one night was awakened with a noise in the other room. He walked in, he lit his lantern. This would have been back in the early 1900s. Lit his lantern or candle, walked in the other room, and there was Satan sitting in his rocking chair. And Smith goes, "Oh, it's only you." Blew out the candle and went back to bed. Why, he knew who he was, what he had rights to, and who to be concerned about. I bet he laughed on the way. As Smith Wigglesworth, now again, I'm not against doctors. Go to the doctor. You follow me? I've not had one, not going to have one. But he suffered with kidney stones that would not get medical assistance. Well, not taking painkillers, and passed something like, was 113 kidney stones the last 6 or so years, or during a 6-year period, I think it was, of his life. I may have the time frame wrong and the number wrong, but it was over 100 kidney stones. Now, I'm told that kidney stones are the closest thing to a woman giving birth regarding pain level. Amen. I'll never know. Don't want to know. Refuse to know. But 113 of them, but stood on the Word of God, operating healing power the whole time, at times near ready to pass out ministering the Word, because he's adamant against the symptoms. Now listen, you don't have to go through that. Go to the doctor if you get a kidney stone. Amen? Take you an Excedrin. I don't, whatever. The point is, there comes a time you got to stand. Speak the Word in power towards your time. And you will see results. The neat thing is, where many of you are doing this, and we're, you know, I'm using Jana because she gave the testimony. She may not realize it, but not only did she save herself not being sick last winter, she may have defeated kidney stones in her future. Speaking healing over her life. May have defeated diabetes in her future, cancer, heart disease. Amen. Why? Because the same word that you're working to get over the flu is the same word that delivers you from all things. As we spend time building up our faith, it positions us for victory over all the attacks of the enemy. And I hate symptoms of sickness. Amen? I've been cold free for a couple years to speak of. And here a couple weeks ago, that respiratory thing hit. And my throat started tickling, and I was so shocked. I'm like, what is this? What is this? I'm hacking. I'd gotten so used to not even thinking about symptoms of sickness that when it hit, I was like, oh, that's what this feels like. I had to remind myself to come against it. Amen. It is. Amen. We agree. But you got to want it. There are things, I'm out of time, I'm certain. Well, I got a few minutes. We have discovered in life that there's something we want, we'll take the steps necessary to get it. You'll take steps necessary to get what you want. Amen. And you'll go, you'll make some major steps to get those exact things. You'll travel to get what you want. You'll spend money. You'll spend time. You'll spend planning. We've got a one healing. More than just the microwave version. Because the promises of God are not, you know, in boiling bags. They take time to develop and to prepare. But did you get anything out of this? We'll continue with this tonight. I want to let you know, the more you'll come and sit under this, the more it's going to help build your faith. The more the atmosphere of the anointing in here, and even healing anointing, the more it's going to filter out the symptoms being able to reach you, or regard for the symptoms, and the easier you're going to access the healing power of God. Go after it. Let me ask this morning, anybody here this morning would say, Pastor Jack, I need healing right now.